How hot is hot?
Let us back in, and I love y'all so much I gotta spell it out. WOMAN, that's what it's all about. Oh, all
the woman gotta have it, I believe. She's gotta know that she's needed around. When you kiss her, you gotta make her feel it.
Your lies don't impress me. I like honesty, perfect harmony. Hotep, children of the sun, and welcome to your number one station focused on rebuilding our nation, WMLR, More Life Radio, proudly presents Simply Put, a show dealing with issues pertaining to the melanated queen, as well as other hot button topics, with your hostess, the God Queen, Erica D, exclusively on WMLR, More Life Radio. It's real radio on a blog talk platform. And now, make way for the Queen, Erica D.
What's up? This is WMLR, More Life Radio, your number one station focused on rebuilding our nation. So, Hotep, hello, Salimu, whatever your preference is, sweetheart, welcome to each and every single one of you. This is your girl, Erica D, bringing you one of the hottest shows around, Simply Put. I've had such a week. When I tell you I've had such a week, this time it wasn't as physical as it was mental. So I got a great mental workout this week. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But I'm excited today because we have an awesome, awesome man on board with me today to talk about a few things that are important to him, that are very important to me, and I feel that they should hopefully become important to you and put a spark in your brain and get you to thinking about what we think about the word Jama, which is community, as well as what we think about ourselves and how we need to fix ourselves in order to contribute and be a strong pillar or a piece of that puzzle that's missing. So before we get into that, you know, I've got to go through our lineup that we've got going on here. So we try to bring you quality programming at its finest. So what we've got for you on Sundays is The Current Affair, Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, and 6 p.m. Pacific. And that is a nice news event show hosted by your boy, Tahuti. And I heard it was very interesting this last Sunday. So make sure you tune in Sunday so that you can hear him. Next, we've got on Monday, Kanzu's Corner. That comes on at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, and 6 p.m. Pacific. He's got a lot to talk about, and he's very, very talented and gifted in the financial aspect. Once you sit down, he believes, like I believe, once you're not afraid of your money anymore, and a lot of us don't realize we have fear of our money, that's what starts to help with giving and building our community. It's all about Black economics and those like mine that come together to help to build on what it is that we need to have in order to build the community that we're trying to build. So next, on Tuesday night, we've got 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Pacific, is the Sacred Whore. And actually, that's going to be every other Tuesday. I haven't heard which Tuesday it's going to start, but I do know that it's going to be coming on Tuesday. Wednesday, you've got, I think today's Wednesday, if I'm not correct. I did have a mental week, but no. Today is Wednesday. So on Wednesdays, you've got Simply Put with your girl, Erica D. And that starts at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Pacific, or 9 a.m., excuse me, Pacific. And no matter what, those are the same times and the same day. And I love bringing to you all people that interest me, that I think will help the community, help us to build Black business, and help us to build each other. Then next, on Thursdays, 9 p.m., 8 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Pacific, we have Brother, Brother, Brother. And on Brother, 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 it's two brothers, Kansu and Tahuti, that are sitting down and having a conversation about who knows. But they're very interesting topics. And they're topics that I'd love for our brothers to listen in on so that maybe it'll spark a conversation in your group of friends or whatnot. But sisters, it's also a great area for you to tune in and see what's on a brother's mind. They also allow you to call in and give your comment. So please, please do that. And on Saturdays at 12 o'clock noon, 11 o'clock Central, and 9 a.m. Pacific, there's More Love. So I do believe More Love will be switching over to another time. So stay tuned for that. Make sure you log on to our Facebook page to find out if there's any changes. And just keep us in mind. And now here, we also want you to know that, and I definitely want you to know that our QT that we spend here together, our quality time, it is so important to me to know what's on your mind. So a lot of the things that we'll be talking about today, they're very hot topics. They're very debatable topics. They're very, I have an opinion simply put type topics. So make sure you give us a call. I know Jermont. He's an awesome guy. He knows how to agree and to agree to disagree. So we want to keep that in mind and have constructive conversation. But call us here today at 646-564-9589. And press the number 1 if you have a question. Again, the number is 646-564-9589. And press the number 1. Just let us know that you've got a question or you've got a comment that you want to make. Again, constructive. We all here on this panel today know how to agree to disagree, or we can agree, or we can come up with some solutions. Whatever is on your mind, make sure you call. Then we want to make sure we throw out there that we've got sponsorship packets. Make sure you get in contact with Tahuti in regards to our sponsorship project. So we're going to jump right into the show. And our show today was Jami. And Jami is the Swahili word for community. Now, community means a lot to me because community is a group of people that live in the same place or have a particular characteristic, or we all may look alike, or we have something in common, cultural aspect, beliefs, something to that effect. So I believe that in our neck of the woods that we need to improve our community. So I decided to bring on board today Mr. Jermont Montgomery. He's very active in his community, in our community in Chicago that I've noticed. He's a native of Chicago. But before I bring him all the way in, you guys know how I like to do. I like to give the Webster Dictionary or definition of what it is that we're talking about today. So today, Webster says that that Jami community is a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. It's also a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic with others. So I guess I was kind of right on point, I guess, about that, huh? So without further ado, I'd like to go ahead and bring in and introduce to you guys Jermont Montgomery. Hey, Jermont, how are you doing?
I'm about to go on this talk show radio show, and I need you on with me. That's why one of the reasons why I picked up.
Jermont, how are you?
Yeah. Doing okay, G. I have Mama Barbara on the phone with me, too.
All right. That's awesome. So I hear you got somebody on the phone with you. Who is that?
Yes. Mama Barbara Sinabe. She owns a business, and she's also part of the land trust.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Good morning to you.
Barbara,
good
say
morning.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm here.
Good morning, good morning. Well, it's great to hear both of you guys this morning. And I love Black businesses. I promote Black business. So my hat's off to you for being brave enough to invest in yourself, for one, and to invest in us as a people. And please make sure you give us as much information as you can today about your Black business so that we can come and those of us who haven't heard of you can begin to invest in you, and those of us who do know of you to continue to be able to brag on you and invest in you. So it's awesome. So, Jermaine, please tell me a little bit, or tell all of us a little bit about yourself.
Let me go back. I was born in a nearly 100% Black community with a mother that basically struggled to raise me on her own. I went on to become a part of some things that was negative in my early upbringing. I corrected that, went on to college, did not finish my degree, but participated in a number of different activities while on college campus, president of Black Heritage Club, president of Black Caucus Club, chair of different programs, left, then finished, went on to start working in a community, first at a organization called Magic Inc. What If, which we work to build the and bring a positive perspective to the Inglewood community in Chicago, Illinois. And from that point on, I helped build other organizations, Blacks in Green, the Workers Center for Racial Justice. I participated in a number of different initiatives. I helped a brother named J.R. Fleming with the anti-eviction campaign, bring the UN to Chicago to hear the voices of Black people as it regards to reparations. And just a few things. I've worked with Chicago Public Radio. It's a number of things that I participated in and done in my life.
Wow, that is amazing. That's a long resume. And honey, trust and believe, there are a lot of us out here who started school and did not finish with that degree, but we got a degree in life and we're steadily working at that. So my hat's off to you for, it sounds like, never giving up and for being as humble as you are. Because like you said, you know, I always remember a saying that used to be said to me in high school every single day from my principal, Bessie Stram. You know, she would always tell us, and it takes 1 second to get into trouble, but it could take your life or a lifetime to get out of it. So I applaud you for taking matters into your own hands and correcting anything that was incorrect. Goes to show all of us out here that no matter what path you go down, you still have choices. Make sure you think about what your situation is in life and what best can help you in order to fix that or to provide yourself with choices. Because if you have no choices, I'm sorry, that life is not, that's not what's up. Mm-hmm. It's really not. So now you mentioned a lot of groups. One that I know that I'm very familiar with and that you have the young lady on the phone with you representing. Tell us a little bit more about that group.
The Community Black August or Ujamaa Community Land Trust?
Ujamaa. We'll start with Ujamaa first.
So Ujamaa Community Land Trust was born out of a concern from a number of issues dealing with the community of Inglewood, particularly a raised park trail coming along on 59th Street. And the community saw that this will be a pathway to gentrifying the community and pretty much removing the indigenous residents or the legacy residents of the community. Pretty much Inglewood is a close to 95, if not 97-98% Black community in between on the city's southwest side of Chicago, in between the Dan Ryan Expressway to the east and Hamilton to the west, 55th to 75th. So it represents a very large plot of land in Chicago. So this trail is looked upon as a way of increasing rent, increasing property taxes, and therefore, go ahead. You want to say something?
No. I'm disagreeing. Sorry.
Yeah. So it's a it's looked upon of removing Black people from their land and property, and the Ujamaa Community Land Trust was born to prevent this and to basically secure land, property, and food economy for the community of Inglewood. Barbara, would you like to say anything on that?
Right. We saw what happened on the north side, and there were individuals who determined that we had to do something to prevent the same displacement of the people who welcomed development not being able to enjoy the development once it did materialize. So the land trust was born to do exactly that.
Awesome. That sounds great. It sounds like it took a lot of work and a lot of community getting together. So how, when you presented this idea, whichever one of you want to answer, how difficult was that to present this idea and to have this idea to catch on? And how difficult was that process?
Go ahead, Bob.
Well, the idea is relatively new to residents of Chicago. Land Trust and ours is really a cooperative where everyone, one man, one vote. It's relatively new, and so we're really just getting the word out to the people.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Black Land Trust and Black Cooperatives is all over the nation, but in Chicago, Illinois, it is, as Mama Barbara said, something we're just venturing into. Now, there's it's been plans. We know the brother, Willie J. R. Feldman from the Anti-Eviction Campaign, that's been working on land trust for some time and putting in the documents, but it's never materialized until recently in Chicago. With definitely with what he's doing and what we have created with the Ujamaa Community Land Trust. So we know there is a group called Cooperative Jackson in Jackson, Mississippi. There's a Dougherty Street Neighborhood Cooperative in Boston, Massachusetts. There's a group of sisters in North Carolina. So community land trusts are all over the nation, and they're basically designed to do just that, protect Black lands for Black people.
Awesome. That sounds good. So, and this is the same mama that I see on Facebook with all the vegetables, right? Fruits and vegetables for sale?
Yes, that's me.
Yeah, I'm the farmer in the group. And as a matter of fact, I'm right now, I'm at Purdue University taking some training in home food preservation so that not only will we have land and grow food on the land, we can preserve the food that we grow on the land.
So Mama Barbara is extremely big in education and food education. She even is implementing the African Seed Project. And part of her work is getting us back to our traditional diets as African people. So being in this enslaved environment and then later in another colonized environment, we have gotten away from our traditional African diets, which supports our genes. So Mama Barbara has been big on pretty much pursuing that that initiative.
Well, that's awesome. Because I may even need to pick your brain a little bit. I've been trying to grow cucumbers. This is my third cucumber plant, and the flowers came, but they didn't do anything yet. I still got hope, though. I still got hope. So I've been bragging about my little cucumber plant now, but I think it's just not going to work on the inside. Because I've been trying to garden on the inside, but we'll see. I'm not giving up. But that's great that you guys are taking. Well, it's great that you guys are taking it that far as the education too. Now I know I had looked into something like that. I'm originally from Flint, Michigan, and they have the same that are here in Flint. And I had also thought about opening up a, doing some research in, for the, a gardening co-op in that area. So we definitely would have to talk later so that we can see how that can get organized, because I believe we should become a sustainable group of people so that we depend on ourselves and we can help keep ourselves healthy.
And part of what we do, we also want to help educate other Black communities on starting land trust. So, for instance, Inglewood in Chicago, Illinois, shares a lot with Flint, Michigan. And when I first worked with Imagine Inglewood F, one of the organizations that I mentioned to you, our big issues was children coming in contact with lead poisoning. We had the highest rate of children coming in contact with lead poisoning in the nation. And later, the water issue with Flint, Michigan also brought the lead issue to the forefront. And that's issues with urban agriculture, and particularly abandoned homes, torn down homes, and soil contamination. And we can't just see a plot of land, look at it as clear, and just go planting in it. You'll be seeing illnesses that you've never seen before. So these the education piece, that which is what Mama Barbara works on, is something extremely important as part of securing our land as well.
Okay, that's awesome. Well, I would love to be educated, or love to even try to get her, figure something out to get her up there so that we could get a group of people to be educated. So we'll be talking about that, Mama. And don't call your vegetables
definitely
ugly. I love vegetables.
Well, that's really a new movement here in the U.S. I mean, ugly produce, of course, you know. It's not ugly, but to get people to rethink how we approach our food purchases, that if something looks perfect, it's not like how God intended it to be. You know, they've been playing with it.
Okay. That's a good concept. I never thought about that. But I do sometimes think when I see you say that, I go, it is ugly. But then I'm thinking, but it's so good when you put it, when you cook it. Or sometimes I goof a lot. So that's a good way for me to get some of what some of my vegetables in. So, okay. So now, Jermot, and I'll ask Jermot first, and then Mama, you can answer this too. What got you interested in this type of work? I mean, to have such a passion, because you both appear to be leaders, and leaders are normally naturally born. They're not always made, and you guys seem very natural at doing this. So what got you guys excited and passionate and you know, almost an activist, if you want to say, in our Black community here in Chicago to want to go this far and do this?
Well, let me go back some. When I was working in with one of the organizations that I mentioned and everything, I was first aware of the Inglewood Trails, and I was sitting down with a white lady, you know, from an organization called NeighborSpace. And she was, as we were sitting down and I was assigned to work with her, I didn't know, I wasn't as educated at the time of what was NeighborSpace. Come to find out through Mama Barbara, NeighborSpace is the Chicago Communities Land Trust. It's a group consisting of the City of Chicago Park Districts, the Cook County Forest Preserve. And as we sitting down, we're talking about land and obtaining land from around Inglewood. And at the time, 63rd Street was CUNY King College on 63rd Street around CUNY King College, but it wasn't constructed just yet. And she saw that big plot of land and said, "Oh, can we get that?" I'm like, and then and as I'm looking over the map of Inglewood, she is just with her claws and drooling, like, "We can get it all." And it hit me like, what the hell is this woman's going? What the hell? So later I've been working. I left the table and I walked away from the organization. I knew work was going to continue on. I'm just hanging out at a place, a local black business where I normally catch Mama Barbara. And she approached me. She was like, do you want to work on something that we are planning? And I was like, well, you know, really, I just did it for her. You know what I'm saying? I said, sure, I got you. I've been in community involvement and working for years and everything. And I really walked away from it and had no intentions on coming back. Then Mama Barbara, she basically said, we came back to the table and I know the players and everybody. And it was just basically a way of protecting my community. This is my community. And she wanted somebody from the community, other community, by the community, to be a part of this, where some people may have not wanted that just at that moment. So I have to thank Mama Barbara for bringing me in to this particular project and letting it be known that if you don't want to see your community change hands, then you need to get involved with this. And that's what I saw and that's what I did.
Okay. Yeah. And how I got into this, I was working with another organization in Inglewood and I was doing the research on the trail. And once I realized what was happening, the idea of the land trust came up. Well, I'm no longer with that organization. And so I've transitioned to you, Jema, and it's natural because I come from a community in Chicago, the 21st Ward, that is very black, very activist oriented. And so I guess I've been doing this all my life without even knowing it. And when I worked for the Chicago Police Department, I was an activist. So activism just seems to be a part of who I am. So naturally transitioning into this was just what was, I guess, supposed to be. And so here I am now into the food. And really, we can't really separate food from what we do in the rest of our life. You know, this is an organization. It's a business.
And food is definitely a business. And we're looking at food as medicine. And we have a project that looks at food as medicine. And we're looking around, and a lot of it is going to have to do with what we call worker cooperatives. And that means worker sharing profit models that will bring a new value to black work. And that's going to be something significant as we build land trusts. It's going to be land trusts and worker cooperatives, and where there's no one person getting super rich, where a community gets wealthy and is better able to sustain itself.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I really admire you guys. I love it. It seems natural. It seems organic. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to get ready to go. We're going to take just a little piece of a break to give everybody a second to pull their thoughts together, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more. But wow, I'm learning so much, and I'm taking notes right now while you guys are talking. It's awesome. So I hope you guys out there are listening and enjoying what I'm hearing and are being as excited about our community as I am. So just sit back and relax. We'll be right back in a little bit. This is WMLR, More Life for You.
What's going on?
Here's your mind. I've got to return the class.
I'll get back to you. Lord help us. Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Oh, brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying.
Come on.
gotta be a better way. What's going on when we're politically blind? You can't see the signs of endangered time. What's going on?
Everybody thinks we're wrong, yeah.
Oh, but who are they to judge us? Together we can all be strong.
Words forever remain dealing with this modern day problems because of ignorance surrounding me and my constituents. Too many infected, too many lives diminishing. Nobody save Protestants, Jews, blacks and whites, Latinos and Asian. Pray together, let's fight, we better unite. As genocide, chemical war, and the rich and the poor know that God delivers a cure.
It's a shame, our reality is devastating. People praying for a cure and dying while they're waiting. Ask the Lord for the comfort and the strength to face it. All the kids with dreams won't get the chance to chase it. Makes me sad, think about the lives they would have had. Think about the orphan babies got no moms and dads. How can we sit back and not try to make it right? We gotta come together, we gotta fight for life.
Somebody tell me what's going on.
What's going on?
We got human beings using humans for a bomb.
Yeah.
But everybody wanna live. Yeah. Don't nobody really wanna die.
Nah.
You feeling me, right?
Right?
I can't be watching people die.
Nah.
I'm watching people cry.
Nah.
Let me break it down for a minute.
Break it.
There's enough room here for you and for me. There's plenty of room for some humanity.
Yeah.
All right, we are back. So we just got finished talking with, I'm sorry, what's Mama's first name, Jermont?
Mama Barbara Fenabe.
Okay. All right, so we just got finished talking with Mama Barbara, and we've got Jermont here with us. And we had a great intensive talk about the community and gardening. And, you know, they gave us a little bit of background about themselves. And I enjoyed that first half of the show because I really feel like I know them a little bit better. I happened to meet Jermont about a month or two ago, but I think I know you much better now. You're on my better friends list, Jermont.
I thank you very much. I'm happy to be on that friends list as well.
Okay, so this time around, I want to ask you how you feel with all that talk we had before about Black economics. How do you feel about that?
Black economics, there's two ways we're going to have to look at it. We can't look at Black economics as just simply creating a new bourgeoisie class of rich Black folks and the rest of us stay under the poverty line or working just to help someone else get rich. We saw that model doesn't work. What we're going to have to look at Black economics is totally in a cooperative mind frame. And that means ghettoizing our money. I shop with you, you shop with sister next to you, she shop with brother next to her, she shop with he shops and he shops, and the money goes back around to me, and it goes back around four or five different times before it leaves our community. And that's the way we're going to have to look at Black economics. I'm totally 1,000,000,000% in supporting Black, by Black, supporting Black. But we also gonna have to look at Black labor. is a part of that black economics in the sense that we're going to have to put a high value on our work and who we are as workers as well. So not necessarily a blue collar worker, but as a brother that I come to talk to, a new sense of black collar work, where a sharing, a development, a system of building each other is something that we're going to look at as a model that we're going to have to implement.
It's funny that you say that too, because you know, I'm one of your Facebook stalkers because I love the information that you put on your page, and I noticed that you were enraged a few times when you spoke of, you know, and it's true, you know, and I'm gonna play devil's advocate a little bit in a second, but you know, you have a situation, say you have a black store in a black community, and that store needs a brand new door. And instead of seeing if, I don't know, I'll just put it out there because you put it on Facebook. There's a church, and the church needed a new roof. And as opposed to going within the church to find someone who could fix the roof, the work was contracted outside of the community. So I thought that was very, very powerful when you said that, because I believe that's true. You know, sometimes a lot of us have talents that other people don't know about, and we should reach within ourselves. But what about, and here's the devil's advocate, you know, there are some people who will say, well, you know what, I have gone within the community, and I have said, okay, I need a toilet fix. I got the toilet fixed. But it still didn't work because he did it. But when I went and got the white guy, he fixed it and it was done. I mean, what do you say to that? Because I do hear people saying stuff like that.
Well, there's no such thing as references. We got to be clear on something. We know everyone is capable of doing bad work. I had to fire somebody. My mother, we had a brother. He was fixing on our family house. And he was doing lousy work, and I didn't catch it in time. We fired him. We went on to another black contractor that did beautiful work, and that we lost contact with that person. My mother ended up what we call people with no certified skills, or in the hood we call jacklegs or something like that. People with that's been working under somebody for years and stuff like that, and they do good work. My mother has some Mexican guy just pulled up. Happened to be working with and worked with a brother and everything, and they pulled up with two people like that, knock on people's doors and say, hey, we do work. My mother liked to disliked the person. They was doing work, and it took me to come in the house and see this dude was taking advantage. And okay. I told him, my mother was upset with me and everything. I told him, I gave him an ultimatum. He was putting my mother off on work for days, sometimes a week. And I said, if you're not here on time, you're fired. It doesn't necessarily matter. Lousy work. Somebody does lousy work is somebody that's going to be doing lousy work regardless. We know that we got references and on people who do great work that are black. And sometimes, yeah, they price may be a little higher. But if we don't support that brother that does work or that sister that does work, I can take my younger cousin and say, look, I got a cousin, I got a younger brother. He needs to learn something. Would you take him on? That white guy those Polish people is not gonna do that for you. I got my own family to take on. I got my own people to take on. So that's the way we got to look at it. We got to look at it in a different way. And not from a lack of self-love. I don't want to say self-hate, but we got to look at it from no longer look at it from a lack of self-love. We know that we can find quality work within ourselves. That's no secret. We can find lousy work within ourselves. That's no secret. We can definitely find lousy work from other communities as well. We don't know unfortunately, into a trial and error, but to get around trial and error, we got to ask about reference.
Right. So we got to believe in ourselves. Yeah, that's powerful. So speaking on that,
if I gave you a reference on somebody and they came by and did lousy work, that reference is going to affect our friendship. And, you know, if I value our friendship, I just won't send anybody to you. I'll give you the pros, the cons, the pluses and minuses of who did work for me, and then I'll let you make your decision and everything like that. And that's how references work. We're going to have to employ or put references in effect when we talk about work, even with ourselves.
That's true. That's true. So speaking of which, this also, this is a great way to lead into, you know, I know you feel a particular way, and I can say that I feel the same way about Black men's roles in this community. You know, I've read many different articles, and some of them say that they believe that Black men are the problem while Black women contribute more. I know of sisters that say that, you know, they run across guys who are always blaming something that happened 400 years ago as to the reason why they act the way they do today, and that we should excuse that as a woman. I also came across a piece that I thought was very interesting that was called Black Male Privileges by Jewel. It's either Jewel Woods or Joelle Woods. It's a little bit of nonsense. You said what?
I think I read something about that, Black male privilege, especially around dating and other issues of, and everything. I got my opinion on things like that.
I do too, because when I looked at that, I was like, okay, this really couldn't be serious because this is kind of stupid to me. But I never really heard about Black privileges until I heard someone do a poem of spoken word on it. But me touching all those quick topics, like what, or just saying that, what do you feel is the role of, or your role as a Black man in our community?
My role, okay. It is extremely important that Black men share all victimization complex. And what do I mean that? We cannot know, even if we are experiencing something that is relatively out of our control, we're going to have to figure out ways to bring it within our control and control our own destiny. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, do I believe and know that there's systematic oppressions of us? Yeah, it's undoubtedly. We know that. But we're still required to live. We're still required to eat, breathe, sleep, and so forth. Now, let's go back in our history a bit. And the love that Black men and Black women had to have for one another to get through 261 years of slavery, another 84 years of Jim Crow colonization, segregation, and then we get to an era called the Civil Rights era, and shortly after that, it was figured out that we need that the system to further oppress us needed to put the Black man against the Black woman in a way that created such division that we're at each other's throats today. And we're going to have to figure out a way to get back to each other. I can't blame you whatsoever. I can't blame you. And even if we hurted one another through relationships, through business, through that, I cannot look at you as my enemy. It is imperative that I do not look at you as my enemy. You are somebody that I must protect. You are somebody that I must provide for. You are somebody that I must love, and vice versa, if we're going to repair one another and go forward.
Right. Right. Yeah, because I do believe that too. You know, I do believe that on both parts, that when it comes to our relationship, we do have to look at the dynamics of things. If you know and understand the oppression that that each of us are undergoing, that the Black man has been held down. There have been things that have been done to him. But as well as the Black man understanding that with women as well, you know, it, nobody's is greater or lesser. And I'm not saying that, you know, the man went through more than the woman, or the woman went through more than the man, but just understanding that, that it had its presence in both of our, at some point in stage in our lives, when we go to communicate with each other, I think that that would make a difference. I know that we're human, you know, but sometimes I do like to say, if you approach things, I think there's stages of going through emotions. So sometimes, say if you and I were in a relationship and I did something that you didn't like, and mm-hmm. you called me out, I don't know, maybe you I call you out on, or you call me out on it, I get really defensive, but maybe I should change the way, first and foremost, I probably shouldn't have done what I did, but secondly, maybe I should come to you when, or respond to you with a knowledgeable understanding why you may be upset, you know what I'm saying, as opposed to just screaming back at you with emotion, because that's, I don't believe mm-hmm. in arguing and arguing, I do believe in discussion. I do believe in that. Well, so, you know,
No, continue on.
Well, no, and I think that's where, yeah, I'm here. I do believe that's where some of us have the downfall at when it comes to communicating, is because we just get so emotional, we allow the emotions to take over. And sometimes, and I've been like this before I decided to just, instead of argue, you get so caught up in your emotions, you forget exactly what the reason is you guys were arguing about in the beginning. And I say this for our relationships with men and women, with women and women, and men and men. I mean, there should be no reason why I walk down the street and when I say hi to a woman or a man, you know, a black woman or black man, that they feel, I don't know, it's like I can't say hi to them, you know, or I can't say mm-hmm. have a nice day, or you must not be from here if you say have a nice day, you know. What do you think about that?
So from my manly, masculine point of view, the lack of control or over oneself and others. So it is the only, I mean, coming from, once again, looking back in our history, it was systems in place that we put in place that created a environment of a powerful discipline discipline was basically a system of respect for the entire culture and society that we live in. And now that was stripped of, I know nobody want to hear the history lessons. Now we get to today,
right,
and we're trying to get our identities back and find ourselves. And now I'm walking around here, and the greatest expression of my manhood is to keep my woman in control. And the greatest expression of your womanhood is to be the most independent person that you can be. And now we in conflict because my want and desire to be in control as a man interferes with you being independent and a person and your own person. How do we reconcile that? How do we come together on that one? How do we create a new sense of respect for one another, a new courting of each other? I mean, I kind of understand that black women can't stand brothers hollering at them on the street. I don't know if I see someone and only got one single shot at you, and this is the only time I may see you in my life. Well, how do I really approach you? I don't know. I mean, it's we living in a time that really is testing us in a sense. And yeah, we as a woman to woman, how do you get rid of the defensiveness, the competition? As a brother, we get rid of the anger. It's difficult to put your hand on a pulse or anything because we've been damaged. We've been damaged as a people,
right,
and repairing each other is going to be a process, and I think we'll get there. I mean, we're gonna have to look at examples on how we've done it in the past and implement it again.
Okay.
But we can build. We can heal one another. We can move on and become great again. So I think that's the, just looking at the aspiration and the positive message behind our story, because it took a hell of a man to love a woman that he had to share with his rapist. It took a hell of a woman to see her man get beat and bruised and all this, and had to pick him back up and to get through all that.
Right.
And now we at a time where we get a little bit of freedom, we get a little bit of economic wealth, and we get and we can't stand each other. We want to kill each other. I don't get it. So I don't I don't think we're looking at our ancestral strength to the level that we need to be looking at our ancestral strength and looking at how we can build each other present day.
Yeah, that's true. That's pretty powerful. But I do believe that's true too. It's going to take a lot, but I think that, you know, as long as, you know, I used to watch my daughter, she used to watch PBS all the time, because before Nickelodeon got that big, PBS used to have a lot of programming. And I believe in education TV anyhow. So they used to always bring this commercial on when they were switching out the shows or giving them a little commercial. And I would just hear it over and over and over because, you know, the kids listen to the TV all day long. But the girl would say, it's all in how you look at it. And the more I heard that, the more I understood what she was saying. And the power of them saying that to the kids at this point in time, it's all in how you look at it. You know, I'll even say that to adults nowadays and say, it's all in how you look at it. And it's true. You know, if you look at something a little differently, or maybe even with a little more compassion, it doesn't necessarily make you a weak person or anything like that. It's just having the knowledge and understanding of a situation and wanting a positive outcome that will better both people, I think is very key to that. It's very key to us moving forward. It really is. Because like you said, I have come across a lot of damage. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I said I think you're right. You know, I it's just something that must and has to happen. I mean, we didn't get to 48 million people by way of hating one another, regardless of how we think of it. And that number might be really reduced by the U.S. Census Bureau. We're a nation in the nation. And we think that this material wealth is our answer. Acceptance is our answer too much. And at the end of the day, you can't take any of it with you. And we're not liberated by any means in any stretch of the imagination. And we look at our inclusion, but it's really us withdrawing from this this whole exploitation-based society and looking back into what we really have. And that's always going to be ourself, our perseverance, our belief in one another to be great, our belief in ourselves to be great. And that's the only thing we ever really had, you know, while we've been here. We haven't never really looked at the a certain real aspects of tangible material, like as I'm dealing with land. We never really had a relationship with the land as what we here in these United States of America. We never had a relationship. So we never really owned this place, and now we're looking to own, and they don't want us here. It's extermination taking place, and it requires that we be at odds at one another. And we talk about the black on black violence, which is something I work with on a daily basis, but no one's talking about, let's be real and honest, look how many fights that's being posted on Facebook between black women.
True. I've seen one where the woman was beaten, dragging the man around, you know, like the black. I really don't look at them too much, but every once in a while I get a little curiosity and I just happen to look, but I'm like, dang, you know, like just the fact that it's a person, I'm, you know, it just behooves me and so people love it. They've got a whole station, don't they? Just for those fights.
Right. Yeah, they, I mean, come on, it's so, so promoted, and so, and the sheer lack of humanity about it. It's solely, we don't understand that we're dehumanizing ourselves when we look at it as entertainment and everything. I saw one where they approached a young lady with her child. When somebody grabbed the child out of her hand so another young lady can fight her, you know what I'm saying? So when we talk about violence and everything in our community between black men and black women, and black women against black women, and black men against black men, and the domestic situation, we're not really looking at it from the standpoint that we're damaged, and we need to figure out right. how to repair ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to go into take a quick little break and go into a clip here. And when we come back, we are going to talk some more about maybe some solutions or something like that that we can come up with, or things that we do, or anything else you want to talk about, because we're having an awesome conversation right now. This is Erica D with Simply Put, and I've got Jermont Montgomery here. And stay tuned.
The Renaissance Hair Company. Regal elegance for the distinguished queen. Specializing in hair extensions and more, with four different grades of hair to choose from. Contact the Burroughs Brothers.
The twins. They got what you need.
The Renaissance Hair Company. You can reach them on their website at rhairco.com, via email rhairco@gmail.com, on Instagram @the_renaissance_hairco, or call 267-888-7472. The Renaissance Hair Company, wanting all the queens to remember that this is for the beauty in you.
All right. So we're back. We've been having a great discussion. We've been talking about gardening. We've been talking about Ujamaa, land and trust. We're sitting here with Jeremy Montgomery right now. And this is Simply Talk. And this is WMLR, More Life Radio. I'm so glad you guys are able to tune in. We're almost done. So where y'all been at? But no, we're having a great conversation, but I'd love to pick up from where we were talking about, because we kind of did my little venting session, but besides in looking at things differently, because I do believe it takes time to learn how to control your emotions and not let them get the best of you, but I also think that it depends on the group of people that you surround yourself with and how you all interact with each other. You know, so what are some of the things that you think that we possibly could do to bring ourselves together as couples, as well as bring ourselves together as communities? Because you have done extensive work before you've gotten to the point where you are in a lot of different communities. So you were very involved. And it seems that each one of those one of those groups that you were in pushed you closer and closer and higher to where you are today. So just, I know that was a lot, but go ahead and give me your thoughts on that.
Well, one of the things, I guess, if we talk about couples and stuff like that, and I'm guilty of making my mistakes as just as any other man here, is that, and for men more so than anybody, it's knowledge when we're hurting someone. So there has been times that I distance myself, I can close my feelings off and deal with my problems within, and I haven't, I didn't know it was hurting somebody. And we need to look at our behaviors in relationships as it applies to our significant others as a way of at least letting them know that I don't have any intentions on hurting you, but I have to deal with this by myself or in a way that I feel gives me the control of my life. And I understand you want to help me out and everything, but this is something that I have to deal with. And you know, and maybe it's for, and I know, and you can probably tell me from a woman's perspective on how you can, you know, saying best give someone space. But that's something that men have to acknowledge, that when we're in a place that we're not necessarily healthy and we don't want to create pain within our women, how do we not do that? But it's, if it's, I don't know if it's in avoidable though. So something around that nature. So you can help me out on that.
Well, yeah, I think that actually I'm a little lucky because I've got all brothers, so I've grown up around men. The men that were positive influences in my life, I learned from them. I also learned, because I study people a lot, I also have learned from the relationships that I've been in, whether they were good relationships or what we may want to call bad. And you have to learn from each one of those. That's what these are for. To learn from each other until you get to that person that you're in the same on the same page, in the same book, and even in the same genre. So that's what I feel. And I often times I don't male bashing, but I do tell my friends, you know, I've had a few relationships. I've met a lot of good guys, but maybe it wasn't our time at that time. And I say that to say, once you study men and learn from the last relationship you were in, and learning as a collective, as far as not, well, I know next time I'm not going to buy him a pair of shoes, he's going to walk away. Maybe not that, but look a little further into who you are. And it takes a big person to look at yourself. Excuse me. It takes a big person to look at yourself and say, this is my fault, this is my fault, and this is my fault. So you do have to do that. But then also to look at this man and say, okay, well, maybe he's doing that because of this or that. But it's also communication. And, you know, and then on both ends. Because if I come and say, hey, Jermont, you have a bad day at work, and maybe you say yes, maybe because I know you and we're a couple, I can look deeper into that yes, then maybe egging you on to find out more about your day, you know.
I think it's a good conversation around this, because I think that one thing we need to be certain of, and this is not to be even questioned, black men and black women do love each other, and it shouldn't even be a question about it, regardless of the issues we have with one another. I mean, you can see it when we argue and everything, the frustration that builds up, but you know where that frustration want to go and everything. But the, you know what I'm saying, I guess the pride that stands in our way and everything that comes with it prevents us from the process of healing. You know, the process of healing doesn't necessarily mean making love or a hot sex session, but there's a process of healing that needs to take place, that really must take place in a way that it creates a common bound in a sense, some level ground to walk on, where we come to a situation of respect and admiration for one another. So that's something I wanted to make note of.
Yeah, that's true. And then, you know, sometimes knowledge, getting more knowledge of your culture and us as a people and understanding, as we kind of touched earlier, that Black men have gone through things. Like you said, it took a hell of a Black man to watch his woman being raped by a slave master, and it took a hell of a woman to watch her her man being beat by the same hands as the person that probably touched her. You know, we should be able to come together just and understand on that alone. You know, sometimes I think that that is missing, and that we're not as, I want to say, African-centered, and that can have something to do with it. Because if I'm over here looking at Becky and Tom and their relationship, well, Becky and Tom are totally different than I am. They love different than I do. Even each community loves differently. So, you know, I think that if I learn about my culture and learn how my people love and learn why I have such a love for my people, I think that that helps, you know, in the understanding and communication process. So,
it's something that's always going to, it's a conversation that's always come up. You can see this conversation take place on in public settings. You can see this conversation take place at a nice little party over a card game. You'll see this conversation take place. The reason why this conversation between Black men and Black women, because we love each other. We're just in a place that, right, you know, and we're just in a place that we are negotiating our love so much. And that negotiation, right, centers around control issues. It's a difficult one for men to deal with when, hey, you're telling me you want this and I should have all of it. And we're going to have to recenter ourselves. You know, what we come to find out, white patriarchy doesn't work for us. And I don't even like those kind of terms at times, but white male patriarchy doesn't work for us in the Black household and everything. It's always been shared and a community and a sense of respect for as equals in a sense. Now, there are roles that we must play. I can't interchange those roles unless they must. I mean, if you're running late, I should try to prepare a meal for the family or something like that if you can't get it done. And some things that you just not supposed to do. Hey, if you're only reason why you should be taking out the garbage is that, hey, I'm totally absent, or our son is totally absent out of the house and stuff like that. So, I mean, those, you know, if there's roles that needs to be done that secure a sense of, how can I say it, a secure a sense of not just responsibility, but accountability and belief in one another and everything. And that's just the way I think about it.
True. Well, I'm going to have you hold on for a second. We got a caller that has a question or a comment, so we're going to bring them in. Sure. Hey, caller. This is Erica D. Thanks for calling Simply Put. I've got Jermont Montgomery here. Your number is 9082. You have a comment or a question, and tell us who you are and where you're calling from, please.
Hi, this is Michael Jefferson, and I'm calling from Muskogee, Oklahoma.
Hello.
I was listening to you, man, and I totally agree with what you say about the negotiation with our Black love. But there's some things I'd like to expound upon with how this process came about. If we can go back maybe two, three generations to the 1950s, where we find that most homes, at least 85% of the homes, were co-parented with a Black with a mother and a father. What ended up happening is when the welfare system was introduced, it ended up taking Black men out of the house, because, as you know, they would say, you know, when I learned from a man down here maybe 20 years ago. I mean, I'm from a transplant from Michigan, but my grandfather's from here. But he told me that when they first set up the welfare system, that it was really set up for those people, those women who really didn't have anything, or people who are disabled. And if they found somebody, like say per se, they found a man staying there, he would have to give his social security number and check in and check out, because it was the government taking care of the person. So rather than have that happen, they started, you know, telling men they couldn't come around. And then you see this feminist movement come up. I'm kind of forward in it, but the feminist movement, nothing against women, we all have our roles. But what happened is we started becoming emasculated as black men, because now there's no black man in the house, and the women are becoming more dominant. They're becoming more aggressive, and then the role of homosexuality is introduced. So our love is a confusing thing to have for one another. I mean, I don't knock anybody for what they do, but our roles, our gender roles, have totally been reversed. For example, I saw a person a little, and nothing against you, and it's your child, but I saw a girl had her little boy with beads in his hair. That's kind of odd to me, because you're feminizing this little boy. And the love we have to do. I mean, I'm going to be finished, bro. Like I said, I love what you said. But, man, we have to get back with identifying who's the head of the household. And it should be us, man. As you say, a woman shouldn't have to tell me to take out the garbage. That should be natural. But when we're in a society where the roles have been confused, and we got to stop looking back. Yeah, these things happen to us. These travesties happen to us. We know they happen to us, but let's deal with right now. Let's deal with my love for you right now, sister. My love for you right now is such that I need to step up. And can you accept me? Even if you make more money than me, I'm going to be right here for you. I'm going to be around here. I'm going to fix something. I'm going to cut the grass. I'm going to be able to fix the things that that money would be outsourcing to somebody else. I'll learn to do those things. And that's what we have to come to a common ground on. And unfortunately, we don't even have those basic skills. Thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to talk. But like I said, man, this forum is great because it's given us the opportunity to express ourselves. And we have to love more, man. Love is the most powerful weapon on this earth. And that it destroys hate. We hate each other.
Yeah, I think I just want to say thank you, because I feel totally 1,000,000,000% the same as you. We got to add a few more things that play this role in that too, and that's something that we have to really take responsibility. Is integration. Integration played a major role in setting up the setting us up for that welfare system that pushed us out later. And then later on, some of the social engineering aspects put in with the media, especially around black exploitation movies and promoting a culture of exploiting women in our community that later was built into hip hop. So we was a number of factors that came into play that was set to attack the black community. And yes, emasculation and effemination of black men, and the putting women in role reversals. So we're going to have to really look at our history, analyze our history, examine it really to a certain degree, and then come back even stronger with not just theory, but practice.
Yeah, well, that's true. You guys are very powerful today. Very, very powerful. Michael, you still there?
Yeah, I lost you guys for a second. Hello?
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I lost you guys for a second.
Okay, no, it's no problem. Did you have anything else that you wanted to add to that?
You know what? That's all I want to say is, man, with the knowledge that the brother putting down and the knowledge that we can all put down, it has to start at a rudimentary level. And when I say that, our culture, it's great. Being Africanized is great, but let's deal we're right now, right here and right now. Let's deal with in front of our plate. You know, we're trying to eat the whole elephant in one bite. Let's just eat it bite by bite, meaning we have to teach mm-hmm. each other from the bottom up. And you have to remember that, you know, whether you are Muslim, whether you are a Christian or whatever you do, remember that everybody wasn't cultivated in love, especially in these societies. Like the brother said, man, integration killed us. It killed us.
Yeah.
And people get wrong when I say we can go back to being segregated. You know, I think if you look at Booker T. Washington's Atlanta Compromise, he said we could be separate but equal. But the thing is, we have to start at the beginning and showing love. We have to nurture from the ground up, the grassroots level. Or otherwise, you know, we're going to miss the pocket. You got to be gentle with them. You can't beat them upside the head. But thank you guys so much, man. And I, you know, peace and love to you. I don't know, they be saying Hotep or whatever. I don't know what that means. But I'm going to tell you this, man, peace and love, man. Peace and love. You know, nothing against Africa. I'm in America. I'm in America, man, you know. Nothing again. I ain't, Africans don't even, you know, I met a lot of Africans and they don't even like me. So it's bad
that's
enough.
Another self-hate that we're going to have to dispel. But
let's deal with it right now.
I had the privilege and the luxury of once, to give you a little bit more about my story. I was released from a maximum security prison at 19 years old. You know what I'm saying? In the Illinois Department of Corrections, it was, you know, during the 1990s, it was prisoner rent. And I, you know what I'm saying, you know, organization, street organization, tribes, however you want to call it, rent the prisons, and we was well organized and stuff like that. But I saw something that I did not want to repeat in life, and that was to return back here as a failure. It going to the penitentiary wasn't in my family's legacy. And I felt that I let my family down. So I was to return back to, on the day I was let release, I returned back to my high school, said, let me back in. Lucky enough, a sister loved saw that I wanted my shot again. I finished my high school diploma, was still on parole and everything, but a brother helped me get off parole. I said I wanted to go to college. Lucky enough, at that time, the Clintons did not pass the bill that said that if you had a felony drug conviction, you could not receive a pill or MAP grant. So I was able to go to, go to college and everything. And even when that law was enacted, I was grandfathered in. So I received my pill and I went to a college inexpensive enough that allowed me. And I met a brother named William Doc Spetter, started the first affirmative action program in the nation to get blacks into college. White universities that was, and it was called Project Success. The brother name was William Spetter, and I stayed learning from him for over 13, 14 years. I still go visit him. He was friends of Dr. Conrad Rowell at Northeastern. He was good friends with Jacob Carruthers, Ivor Carruthers, Dr. Stocks, that whole school of black nationalist educators at higher universities. And that was a privilege to learn. I'm later, 2 years out of a maximum security penitentiary, I'm running around South Africa. And I'm learning, you know what I'm saying? And it was the common people that I met, not the elites. I didn't fit into the elite spectrum. I'm a kid from the streets. So when I'm meeting a brother and I get cool with somebody and they take me around different townships and show me the homes of where the revolution takes place and everything else. And now we had a restaurant, they laid the chicken down and the customer is, you grab what you want. Hey, I'm grabbing my piece too. And you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I know brothers on the street and common brotherhood. And people will struggle all over know that. So when we say, hey man, I don't get along with brothers from the continent or brothers, yeah, that's an issue with that, but that's some self-hate. Remember who gets let into this country. The chosen elite gets let in this country. So you interact with the chosen elite. And that's something, but when you get to the people are a different whole category. So the people that we know as the commoners, as the, you know what I'm saying, the people on the ground don't get to meet the people on the ground. What you interact is the chosen elite, and when they interact with us, it's the chosen elite. And we got to be cognitive, conscious of that as well.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I totally believe that. I'm going to have you come back on. We're going to have to work something out. Because our time is coming close to is very close to the end. So, but I want to thank you so much for all of your knowledge. I mean, I can tell that you have studied because it just naturally flows out. You know, it doesn't. If you said you were going to be prepared, and you were very prepared. Like any notes that I had, I set them to the side because having a conversation with you today was with ease. So I hope that a lot of the audience today learned a lot from you. I know I have. I've had a few ideas sparked in my head. I hope that there have been a few to those who have been listening. And I just, you're such a joy to have a conversation with. And I thank you so much for taking the time out to talk with me and share your story and your knowledge.
Erica, I pretty appreciate you even thought enough for me to, I think we met at one of my money mobs for Black Owned Business, am I correct?
Yes.
Hello. And, you know, yes. And I didn't even think we hit it off and everything, but I've directed you to some of the things that I was doing, and next thing I know, communicating, and you said it to me yesterday, you're promoting Black positivity. And I think Black positivity right. is the only way we're going to get out of this. Yeah, we're going to have to address those things that we're not too fond of, of our behaviors or sometimes, but that's only natural. But what you're doing is, I'm extremely gracious and that you even thought enough of me to bring me on the show.
No problem. You've got a plethora of knowledge, and I'm going to be tapping into that bank to see what's up. But thank you so much for joining. And I'm going to go ahead and close the show out and let everybody know to, you know, remember, you got to make your next move your best move. So when you make your decisions, you got to make sure that you evaluate your situation to make sure that whatever decision it is that you're making, the right decision for you. So
before you close out, Erica, can I say something? One second. Happy birthday to the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey. Today is his birthday, so we should not leave without saying happy birthday to the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey, the founder of Black Nationalism.
That's true, because if I were alive back in those days, I would have wanted to hear what he had to say, and I would have been hanging out with him, because I really like Marcus Garvey. But happy birthday to Marcus Garvey. Happy, happy birthday. And thanks for all that knowledge that you left behind for us, Two Words of Wisdom. So with that, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show today. This is WMLR, More Life Radio. And please stay tuned to those of you who follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and on my Facebook page. If you haven't liked the Simply Put page that's on Facebook, make sure you do. There'll be some changes coming, but I'll still be coming on Wednesdays at the same time. But thank you, everyone, for tuning in and being generous enough to dedicate your lunch hour to us. And you guys have an awesome, awesome day.
Thank you.